It's good to be in God's house again. It's wonderful. I just have a short scripture this morning for a change. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. If you'd like to turn to that, that would help probably. It's not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. We're well into the season for various marathons and charity fun runs. There's been the recent London Marathon, the Great North Road Marathon, and other local charity fun runs that have also been held. And in addition to these, this summer has seen the Olympics in Tokyo. All these events got me thinking. Athletes are amazing individuals. What amazes me most is the concentration, dedication and focus that's needed to even make it to the event in the first place. Those athletes have been training and working for many months, even years, in order to get to this one competition. And of course the same could be said of any championship athlete as well as other professions in life. Determination and focus are necessary to reach the highest goals. And this is true in many areas of life. And it's also true of the most important pursuit of life, that is the pursuit of a vital relationship with God. In our text this morning, Paul tells us that in order to grow as a Christian, we must be focused and determined. We'll not grow if we don't work at growth. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith, but growth requires that we work with God. And so it's vitally important that we realise that God has got a goal for our life.
That's right.
Paul says, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. And the words I want us to see and really remember are those words, the prize for which God has called me heavenwards. Romans 8, verse 28 is a verse that many of you know by heart. In fact, many of you could quote it to me. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. But the next verse, Romans 8, 29, is less well known, because there Paul writes, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Do you see the purpose that God has in calling us? He wants us to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. God's desire is we grow to be like Christ. Well, why is that important? Well, first it's important to realize that God's goal is not just to get us in at the door. He's not looking to merely save us. He's working to transform us. The Christian is one who is always moving towards Christ-likeness. We should be making progress towards holiness. But it's also important to realise that God has a job for us to do. He has called us to something. We are part of his plan. God does have a plan for your life. His plan will lead you to joy, fulfillment, contentment, and eternal blessing. But then we have to recognize that you've not arrived yet. Paul not only recognizes that the Lord has a great purpose for his life, he realizes that he's not yet arrived at that purpose. Paul knows he's not yet what he should be.
He's aware of his faults and the areas where he still needs to grow. That word for perfect also means complete. Paul recognizes that he is not finished yet. Chuck Swindoll, the American church leader, says it well when he says, God is seeking progress, not perfection. Some people get so discouraged because they feel they aren't progressing very rapidly. But the Christian life is a life of growth and maturity, very much like life itself. But growth takes time. As diligently as Paul worked at his faith, he knew that he still not yet arrived. But we shouldn't get discouraged. We should keep moving forward. Growth takes time. Some people have a different problem. They've concluded that they have arrived where God wants them to be. They've reached a certain point in their knowledge and experience, and they conclude that they're mature and can stop working so hard. Those who think that this have a faulty view of their own situation. They're looking only at the surface. But God is concerned about the heart. I can remember not long after I got saved, we had a chap in the church I was going to then, and he was about, 6 foot 2, 6 foot 3, quite a tall man. But he was always stooped over. And the pastor, I said to the pastor one day, I said, how's Dave getting on? Because I called him Dave as well. How Dave's getting on? And he said, look at Dave. He said, sometimes when you look at Dave, you can only look in his eyes. Other times when you look at Dave, you can see his face. What you're looking for is when you look at Dave and you see his chest. Because Dave was like that. But he should have been like that. But it takes time. It takes time. By the time that I finally saw Dave, I was looking at his chest. But it took time. We have to measure ourselves by Christ. He wants us pure in our actions, in our conversations, in our thinking, in our attitudes, in our relationships. He wants us to love him more than anything else. He wants to be in the position of influence in every part of our life. And if you understand the required standard, then, like Paul, you'll understand that you've not got there yet. Also, and this is very important, don't live in the past. Now, first let's be clear what this does not mean. Paul tells us that he wants us to be focused on our growth, and we must forget what is behind. But obviously Paul is not telling us to literally not remember anything. I recently watched the 1959 film A Nun's Story, starring Audrey Hepburn. And in this film we follow a girl who enters into a convent and begins training to be a nun. And one of the things that she's told that she must do is to forget her past life. And if she does remember, this is considered a sin, and she has to repent and carry out the prescribed penance. And she was one day thinking about something that her father had told her, and she had to go and confess that she'd remembered about her father and had to do a penance. But that's not what Paul is saying to us in our text. We certainly should remember who we were before Christ found us. We need to remember the mistakes we've made so that we can avoid them in the future. We should remember the times when we've seen God's faithfulness demonstrated. But Paul is not telling us that we don't have to fulfill the responsibilities of the past. If we'd wronged somebody, then we should try and make it right. If we've stolen from somebody, we should make restitution. If we have a problem with someone, we should seek to be reconciled. So, what does Paul mean when he says forget the past? When Paul talks about forgetting, he's telling us that we can't and we must not live in the past. What happened in the past is past, and we must keep going forward. And there's two reasons why we need to do this. First, we have a tendency to fixate on the past. We hold on to some bad experience and it will become an anchor that weighs us down. We remember the hurt that someone inflicted and it will eat us up. We'll remember the time when we stumbled and we determined that we're never going to try that again. How we deal with the painful times of the past will determine how we live in the present. We must learn from the pain and then move on. What God had forgiven should never be taken as a burden again. But secondly, we have a tendency to rest on the past. We'll replay the past victories and be content to remember them instead of continuing to push ahead. And this happens to many people. Paul determined he would not rest on past accomplishments, but always look forward to what was needed to be done. There are Christians who are always talking about the great times of faith in the past. They talk about their intimate relation that they had with Christ and how close and intimate it was. The emphasis being was. But this is all in the past tense. We must not be bound by the past. We should focus on the present. But we must also be motivated about our growth. Paul tells us that he presses on. It's the same word that was used in verse 6 when Paul talked about his zealous persecution of the early church. It's with the same kind of intensity that Paul pursues God's plan for his life. Paul also said, "This one thing I do." He's single-minded. Paul was not distracted. He was clear where he was headed. He tells us that he's stretching forward and reaching for his goal. He's not only concentrating, but he's straining forward. The image is like that of running a race. You see people in a race, and as they approach the finishing line, they lean forward to try and beat their opponent to the tape. The cyclists in their races will not be sitting prim and proper as they sit on their sit-up and beg bicycles. They'll be bent forward, thrusting and powerful as they seek to be at the front. And that's the image that Paul uses for his desire to grow spiritually. Some of mankind's greatest contributions have come from people who decided that no sacrifice is too large, no effort too great to accomplish what they set out to do. Edward Gibbons spent 26 years writing that great historical work, The History and Decline of the Fall of the Roman Empire. Noah Webster worked diligently for 36 years to bring into print the first edition of his dictionary. And it's said that the Roman writer Cicero practiced before his friends every day for 30 years in order to perfect his public speaking. Now that is stamina. That is persistence. Now think about how much energy we put into the Lord's work. And the comparison can be rather embarrassing. And it should lead us to ask ourselves some heart-searching questions. Why is our service for Christ sometimes performed in a half-hearted manner? Why do other things always come before our time with the Lord? Why do we prepare more diligently for our responsibilities in the world than we do for our responsibilities in the church? Growth will not happen if we're haphazard about our spiritual life. In practice, diligence means making time for God in our timetable, finding time to thoughtfully read the Bible, planning for times of prayer, making worship and service a priority in our calendar, doing a regular and honest spiritual evaluation of our lives, turning away from some worldly pursuit, pushing ourselves to study and read for growth, daring to reach beyond what is always comfortable and safe. And finally, and perhaps most importantly, keep your eye on the goal. Paul tells us that he must always keep his eye on the prize. It's like the Olympic athlete who trains tirelessly for a gold medal at the Olympics. When they get tired, they imagine what it will be like to stand on the podium and hear the national anthem of their country being played as they're presented with the medal that they strive so hard for. And that picture spurs them on. So what is the prize that should spur us on? What image should we keep in the forefront of our minds? Maybe I could paint a couple of pictures. How about the image of standing before the Father to hear, "Well done"? Having your life revealed without any sense of regret or shame. Being surrounded by those who have been saved partly because of your faithful witness. During your funeral service, having someone to say you were consistent and faithful. And the joy of that first moment when you see Jesus. So what does this message mean practically for our church? I think there are several good lessons. Though we should be grateful for the growth and blessings that we've previously seen, we must always be looking for new opportunities to minister and grow. We must constantly evaluate our ministries and eliminate those that have served their purpose and develop those that meet the new needs around us. We must also ensure that we don't value our traditions so much that they become an obstacle to growth. The question must always be, is this something that will further the kingdom of God? Rather than, is this the way we've always done it? We must remember, our goal as a church is not a particular attendance figure. Our goal is to honour and glorify Christ in all that we do. When we pursue this goal, we'll surely see numerical growth. But numbers are not our goal. They're just a measurement tool. We could get any number, but we don't want numbers. We want a relationship with Christ. So what does this message mean practically for individuals? Many people begin a diet or start exercising and never follow through. Many start reading a book, but they never finish. Some begin training in an area but give up when it becomes a bit difficult. Some get married and get out when it becomes difficult. Some people are fascinated by faith for a while and then they grow bored and they move on to something else that excites them for a while. Are you like that? Is your faith superficial? Are you a temporary follower? Or are you committed to Christ? The person who gives up misses out on the benefits that come with the hard work. The one who leaves a marriage misses out on a quality relationship. The one who gives up on exercise and diet sacrifices good health. Those who give up on education miss out the things that they could learn. And those who give up the race for the heavenly prize miss out on the joy of walking with Christ. So, what is the one thing that you're focused on? Are you focused on stuff? On paying bills? On gaining power? Having temporary peaks of enjoyment? Surely you want more than from life than that. Well then, set your sights higher. Press on for the prize. Seek to know him better and more fully. Jesus tells us that when we first seek the kingdom of God, the other things we're concerned about will take care of themselves. Some of us are nearer to the finishing line. Our earthly life is nearing its conclusion. But we mustn't coast now, for now is the time to push even harder and to finish strong. Others of you are just getting started. Well, don't give up because it's difficult. Keep working. Be patient. Growth takes time. And others are right in the heat of the race. Don't slow down. Keep pushing. I know it's exhausting at times, but focus on the goal. Strive to finish well. Paul is encouraging us to be more than names on a church roll. He doesn't want us to merely call ourselves Christians or think ourselves as Christians. He wants us to know Christ and wants us to be real followers of Christ. So may God grant that you and I might want that too. And that, as Paul said, we press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called us heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Amen.